Welcome, everybody. It's always great to have the bell ring. I love the bell. We have a couple of announcements. We have our adult Sunday school at 9:30 on Sundays, and it's been a great time. We go through our daily bread. There's some new ones. There's some out there if you need one. So they're a good thing to do as a devotion on your own, too. So that's good. Then we have our gleaners on Wednesdays, and they open the doors at 11, so be here by 10:55 because the food goes fast. And if you know somebody that needs some food, why be sure and contact either Sherry or Helen. Prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. You can do it through our webpage. There's a place that says prayer meeting. As long as you have Zoom downloaded, it works really well. And it's great to just get together and pray for our fellow Christians that are here at church. You can all use prayer. Next potluck is June 4th, so it'll be here before we know it. Next week is Memorial Weekend, and then there it is. So in 2 weeks. So be sure and plan for it. I know, it's hard to believe May's over. Anyway, we also have a birthday girl that's going to have a birthday tomorrow. Miss Carolyn. So happy birthday. Shall we sing happy birthday to Grandma, to Carolyn? All right, let's do that. Happy birthday to you, and to Jesus be true. May the Lord bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you, and many more. So after church, there's cake in the fellowship hall to have some birthday cake with Carolyn. So that's nice. Oh, that's even better. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this place that we can come to worship you, to praise you. We just give you praise for Carolyn's birthday, Lord, that she's doing so well. We love her. We're just so thankful to have her in our congregation. Father God, be with each of us as we just come to worship you, to sing praise to you, to hear what you have put on Pastor Teresa's heart to share with us. Just let us absorb your words, Lord. Let us just concentrate on what you want us to hear. We give you all praise for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. In your son's precious name, amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship. It is Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Whoa. That's an awesome verse. All right, we're going to start with come into his presence. You can stand if you want. This is a happy song. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. And give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him. Jesus, a name above all names. Come into his presence with thanksgiving heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto Him. Jesus, the name above all names. Give glory.
Cheers. is exalted above all blessing and praise. For you alone are the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Which is exalted above all blessing and praise. For you alone are the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord forever and ever. Stand up and bless the God. He alone is the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord forever and ever. Stand up and bless your God. He alone is the Lord of all.
About the second song, I looked up, there's that city on the altar, and I'm like, playing in front of me. That's been my kids all week. I don't know what it is. They come up behind me and go, there's a spider behind you. Prank! You know what's great is to see Landon developing that social awareness. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, you gotta love siblings for pranks. That's, I mean, if you you didn't have your siblings pranking you. You didn't really have siblings, did you? So, well, thank God for siblings and many other things he has given us. And give back to him what he has asked us to do. It is time for offerings and tithes. And if you're online joining us on Facebook, you can go to Tithely, or if you see this later and you have a chance, go to Tithely and be giving there as well. Let's go together. Father, Lord, thank you for so many blessings you have given us. But most importantly, the blessings that make our lives work. Thank you for jobs and retirements and sources of income to allow us to meet our needs and serve others. Thank you, Lord, for giving us homes and cars and ministries and opportunities in our sorrows to raise up and give life to new generations. Thank you, God. Receive this back and multiply it tenfold as we know you will. Amen.
Can sing it. You want to sing a verse? We'll sing a verse. Hey, let's go with the flow.
Is yes. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yes. Lord knows I need it. So I'm checking the Facebook here. No one had posted anything there, but anybody else have a prayer or a praise request they would like to share? I know there was a couple on the prayer chat this week, so I'll see if people wish to share those first, then I'll bring them up. So let's see. Bill. So Bill's lifting up a prayer request from Randy Bardell, a co-worker, correct? Yeah, co-worker from work, and his daughter, her husband, so Randy's son-in-law, was killed in a tragic car accident, and that's leaving her with three children to raise on her own. So prayer for needs to be met and for peace at this time. Absolutely. Anybody else? Donna. So prayer for Pastor Joel Collier, who has been suffering with some dizziness and nauseousness, wow, And is unable to get up and walk without, you know, feeling like he wants to fall over. He's been in bed for, I think, a couple weeks now. So pray that this will pass. I'm pretty sure all of us have experienced some momentary vertigo from time to time, but to have that feeling ongoing, Lord, please take it from our brother Joel. Anybody else? I got a praise to share. My mom's 79 again tomorrow. I made a little comment a little bit ago, but this week with Landon, we've seen some social perspective taking things that, you know, would we ever get them? I don't know, but we've seen them. And the pranking is just one of them, but, you know, yeah, it's good. It's really good. If you grow up to not have a little bit of a mischievous bent to you, then you're really boring. And so, Debbie. Huh? Landon is kind of a little bit of a dog whisperer sometimes. No, Fiona wasn't whispering, but, you know, Landon did the right thing. He went in and he sat down and just got down at Fiona's level, and it was great. Again, these social perspective things that, Lord, is he ever going to get him? Thank you, Lord. You know? Yeah, it was great. Landon made a new friend or two yesterday, didn't you, Landon? Tripper and Fiona, huh? Yep. And we'll tech you out if you get those items, I promise. So Debbie's just lifting up praises that Dawson was able to go over and help, and that Landon came over and met Fiona and Tripper and made a couple new friends with their dogs. And just a good moment of fellowship that was had. Absolutely. Judy. So praise and prayer request there for Marie Hunley. Praise that this last week was like a switch. She got up and enjoyed life and went to many different things. Prayer request that she probably overdid it. And she's got some pain in her foot and her leg. And they're checking that out. So prayer that they figure out what's causing that. For her and her tooth. And her tooth. Excellent. Oh, and the double vision in the eyes. A prayer for Marie Hunley with her health, but a praise that she was able to get up and enjoy life. Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody else? Linda.
Praise and prayer. Stephanie had a biopsy on the lump in the uterus, and that came back with cancer too. So she's got a lump under her arm and the uterine, and they don't think that they are related. So she's going to be starting. They were going to do chemo, but evidently they're going to do hormone instead to get her started on hormone therapy. But the big craze of all of it is that she had been thinking about trying to look for another job, and God had closed those doors. And she's been working for Kaiser, so she's got really good medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Had this have happened in another job. Yeah. God's watching over.
So Linda's wanting us to continue to lift up Stephanie, who has been confirmed to have two instances of cancer, not related to each other, but the praise is that working for Kaiser, she has really good health insurance, and she can start on hormone therapy right away, and hopefully get a good start on beating this thing. Yeah. Anybody else? Debbie. So Debbie's sharing a couple phrases that her job has a different day. She'll have to report to work, and that will work out much better for her prep cycle for her week. And then the other praise, or not praise, but I'm sorry, it's actually a prayer request. Well, it's a praise request, really. Praise that her boss Andy is doing better. And if you guys remember, we prayed for him. He had a lot of heart issues, circulatory issues to come back from. And he's back, but he has to move. So the prayer is that her boss, Debbie's boss, doesn't overdo it moving, and everybody knows how easy that is to do. You push to get it done. Carolyn. Some of you know my brother Tony took a job in Massachusetts last year as a school teacher, and that post is coming to an end, and so he needs to find another job. So prayer that God will open the door where he wants him to walk through. He's put out several resumes, so let Holy Spirit guide the eyes to the resume that needs to be seen for Tony to find a job. Let us go together as a family in prayer. Father God, Thank you for being God Almighty. Preeminent over the universe, creator of it. The one who we can trust unwaveringly to know the future and forgive and heal our past. Thank you, God, for loving us no matter what we think, no matter what we do. Forgive us when we fall short of your commands for us to love others, to show them your love. Forgive us when we've been tired and short, impatient and short, angry and short, and not showing your love as we should. Give us the strength to always do that, and if necessary, use words. Father God, we lift up many needs that are before us today for Marie Hunley, for Stephanie, Lord, for my cousin Jeff to continue to heal. Lord, we lift up Andy, his continued healing, and that he doesn't overdo it in a move, as Debbie likes her boss. You give her that blessing. Lord, we lift up so many other needs that have been shared. We say thank you. We praise you for years given, as Carolyn is having her 79th birthday again. Lord, we just lift up so many things that you know need to be prayed for. Bill's co-worker, his son-in-law, and the ripples that we'll have in that family, Lord, bring peace, bring love, bring support from those who are closest around them. And Holy Spirit, watch over and guide those children. Protect them in this transition, unfortunate transition. Thank you, God, for your many blessings, for jobs, for changes in our jobs that provide refreshing motivation to work harder, work smarter, work better. Lord, thank you for giving us employment and giving us ministry and giving us retirement, which sometimes is rehirement into your kingdom. God, thank you for these many blessings and jobs you give us to do. Lord, thank you. We lift up all of our leaders, Lord, those that are in positions of authority over us at work, politically, otherwise. Lord, we lift them up to your throne of grace, and we ask that you give them wisdom. Holy Spirit, knock on the door of the heart of everyone in leadership and impart wisdom as they open. That this great land would benefit from your great wisdom, and chaos would not reign supreme, but the order of your love would fall fresh on us, our neighbors, and our All right, kiddos, this is one of my favorite summer camp songs. Come on, Bubba. Let's see if you guys can do a jump. Or if I get my feet quick. Got a song called River of Life. Are you ready? We're splish, splash, and then I think there's a place where we can spring up a well. And you can do a jump. Are you ready? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. like a river of life flowing out of me. Splish, splash, oh well. Splish, splash within my soul. Spring up, oh well. Splish, splash, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well. Splish, splash, and give to me that life abundantly. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lane to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, flow up, splish, splash. My soul, spring up, oh well, splish, splash, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, splish, splash, and give to me that life abundantly.
Abundantly.
Thank you, Lord, for the great abundance you have given us and these children and the future that you've provide for them abundantly, and within their hearts well up a huge spring of your love to guide them, protect them, and show them your word. Amen.
Good morning. God is indeed good to us. May the Lord bless our children's church workers and our children as they go. And today we are going to be at the end of Matthew, where Jesus makes his final departure. Jesus talked with his disciples to prepare them for the day that he would depart. And we've seen him tell them all along the way, but most recently, that, you know, they need to know his voice. They need to be like him. And he also told them that he would never leave them alone. So those are very crucial things for his disciples to know before he leaves. And so in today's passage marks the day that he actually leaves them. This time, he won't be coming back anytime soon. Remember, he told them, I must die. And they didn't understand, like, Lord, what are you talking about? Why do you have to die? But he said, I will come back. I will rise from the grave. And he did that. But he also needed to leave them again. And this time, for a long time. So he commands what they ought to be doing while he is away, and he shares a parting reminder with them. So follow along as I read from Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to focus on verses 16 through 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But as always, choose which translation you'd like to read from. Matthew 28 reads this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen to God's word. So, Jesus' departing words come at the close of Matthew's accounting of the life and ministry of Jesus. They're found in the last pages of his writing, following his account of Jesus' resurrection and appearance to the women at the empty tomb. And Matthew places emphasis on certain things that the other gospel writers do not. And that's the difference between the gospels when you compare, when you read all of them and go, oh, how come this one said that and that one didn't say that? And they emphasize this. It's because in real life, all of us are here right now, right, in the sanctuary. But if you were to ask Sister Susie what just happened, and you were to compare her story with Pastor Ivan's, with Sister Carolyn's, they're all going to emphasize something different. It doesn't mean that somebody's lying. No. It just means they all have a different perspective, and they're all going to emphasize the thing that was important to them. So it's the same thing when you're reading the Gospels. It's not that somebody made something up or someone, oh, they completely left that out. Now, does that make any sense? Or, well, which story is true? They're all true. Each writer has a different purpose of why they are writing. They are looking at their audience and saying to this particular group, this is what they need to know. So I'm going to focus on these things. And so that's why Matthew is different from the other gospel writers, because he has a purpose. He has an intention that he wants to convey to his audience. Now, you may recall, like, for example, when you go to John's account. Now, when you read John, he breaks down all of Jesus' sightings after he is resurrected. He lists the Marys, right, the other women, himself and Peter going to the tomb. He lists the times that Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst. Remember, that's at least twice that he talks about. But when you read John, there's no Great Commission speech. By the way, that's what they usually call this section of Matthew, the Great Commission. Yeah, but when you read John, he doesn't even talk about the Great Commission. Why? Because John is trying to give you a different perspective of who Jesus is. So even look, even when you read the book of Luke, different. Luke lists the ladies' names one by one. He's like, oh, there's Mary, Mary, Mary. And then there's also these other women that were there. He lists them as they visit the tomb. And then he adds the account of the pair walking to Emmaus. Remember the story of the two walking up to the road to Emmaus? He adds that to the story. He tells us about that. Does it mean that the others didn't know? Yeah, they knew, but they're not taking time to talk about that because it's not important to their story. And then Luke closes with Jesus pronouncing a blessing over the disciples as he departs, as he is lifted into the heavens. So again, different emphasis. When you look at Mark highlights Mary Magdalene's encountering Jesus. He also mentions the two on the road to Emmaus. And then he adds to the Great Commission. He has a different flavor to the Great Commission than Matthew does. So, because he adds things like the ability to cast out demons and to heal others as evidence of God's power in his people. So again, yes, the Great Commission happened, but each person will highlight what's important from their perspective. So when you look at Matthew tells of the two Marys who visit the tomb, and they are told by an angel to tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. That's why when you get to this particular passage, that's why they're going to Galilee. Because you might be thinking, wait, why are they going to Galilee? Because earlier, the angel said to the Marys, hey, go tell the disciples and tell them to go meet me in Galilee. So that's what happens there. And this is also good when you read Matthew's account, because not only does he tell them to come meet him in Galilee, but Matthew adds, before the Great Commission, before you get to that piece, he gives an account of how the soldiers were bribed to tell the people Jesus' disciples took his remains. It's very interesting. And then he gives you this aside. Oh, and by the way, they're still telling that story. Some people still believe that his disciples came and stole his body, and that there was no resurrection of Jesus. Jesus the Christ. So he, you know, he puts in, Matthew's trying to let his audience see, no, like when God said he was sending his Messiah, Jesus is that Messiah because he did these things. So he points those out before he gets to the Great Commission. So it is in Matthew's account also of Jesus' last words to his disciples before his ascension that we find the four alls. When you read that, when you go through that passage again, you're going to say, oh yeah, there's four alls there. Matthew is closing his account with the final word on who Jesus is as the Messiah, also known as the Son of Man in Old Testament vernacular, and the significance. What does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? What does it mean that he is the Son of Man? What does that mean to humanity? So let's look at the four alls. What is Matthew trying to say? The first all is this. Jesus has all authority. So look at what Jesus says of himself in verses 18 and 19. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, he says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, this is vital. Why does Jesus say that? Why does he need to remind them that he has all authority? Jesus' authority is foundational for the rest of what he's saying, for the rest of this passage. Matthew gives witness to Jesus being the Son of Man, and thus authority all throughout his narrative. So when you read the whole book of Matthew, all 28 chapters, you're going to see Matthew saying, Jesus is the Son of Man, and this is how we know that he is God's Messiah. He gives you all of these examples, and so he does it specifically in the closing as well. He shows Jesus healing illnesses. Remember all the stories of the people, blind people, lame people, all the things. And he shows Jesus having power even over demons, as he's cast out demons several times in the book of Matthew, and even having power over death itself. This is really interesting because Jesus raises other people, such as Lazarus, but he himself is also raised from the dead, finally conquering death once and for all. So this is why Matthew says he has all A-L-L authority. So Matthew also looks back to scripture to identify Jesus as the Messiah. Because remember, if you're living in the New Testament times, your Bible is not the New Testament. Your Bible is the Old Testament. And all good Jewish people who follow Yahweh know the word of God. And so Matthew says, hey, just in case you don't know, go back in scripture and you'll see it there. So Matthew looks back to scripture to identify Jesus as the Messiah. In response to Jesus' statement that he has all authority, Matthew acknowledges Jesus as the Son of Man found in the book of Daniel. So if you go back to Daniel, it's a very fascinating book all in and of itself. Daniel chapter 7, particularly, verses 13 and 17. Take a note of that and read that as you can when you go back home. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'll read it to you. As my vision, this is Daniel writing, the prophet, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One, who was God the Creator, and was led into his presence. Listen to what verse 14 says. He, the one who was led into God's presence, was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that the people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal it will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. So Matthew says, if you know the scripture found in Daniel, that portrait of who the Son of Man is, that is Jesus the Christ, who we know and we follow. So he says, believe, because he is that Messiah. He has all authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world. No matter what nation you live in, no matter what language you speak. Isn't that something? And then he says, and by the way, his reign will never end. Never be destroyed. So, if Jesus had not received all authority from God, the Ancient One, as Daniel describes him, he would not have been able to do his ministry, nor leave the legacy of his ministry to his disciples. So he has to have all of the authority because God gave it to him. So we go back to Jesus' statement from 2 weeks ago. Remember he said, because I am, you are. Because I've done these things, guess what? You now get to go and do these things. You now get to go and be who God created you to be. Because I am, you are. Because Jesus has authority from God, he has authority to pass his ministry on to those who believe. And so as you read the scripture, you're getting all excited. Like, oh, that's cool that he gave the disciples that job. Well, guess what? He gave us that job because we are also his disciples. The disciples didn't die out back then. Yeah, they did. The physical ones, those 11 that are recorded there in scripture. But we are modern day disciples of Christ. And those words that he spoke to them, he speaks to us. So he says, go be who you have been designed to be. Go and do what you have seen me do. That's the authority that Jesus Christ has. Because I am, you are. And so he passes his ministry on to those who believe, and he says, go and make disciples. Why? Because I have all authority, and I am now passing it on to you. Which leads to the second all phrase. If you follow in the scripture, all the nations. Somebody say all. All is also a word for every. It means not some or most or few. No, it means A-L-L, all. Anything that exists, all. So Jesus commands the disciples to replicate his ministry. They are to build relationships with people, show people who God is, teach the word of God, and help people grow in their relationship with God. All the things that Jesus did with his very own disciples. So he's not creating something new. He's saying, what you experienced with me, you've seen me. Remember that whole conversation that they had previously? If you've seen me, you've seen God. If you know me, you know God. And that's what he's saying to us. Don't think that, it's sad to me because I know this. I grew up in church and there were people, I remember when growing up, people who felt like, oh, you know, if you're not witnessing to 10 different people each week, you know, you're not going to heaven and there's this quota you got to do. Like, no, actually that's not how it works. You don't have to have a Bible and stand on the corner and yell at people that they're going to hell. That's not how you make disciples. It just isn't. Your little protests, get your little signs out in front of the abortion clinics. Not helpful. It's not helpful. That's not how you make disciples. If you want to make disciples, you do like Jesus did. You go and you hang out with the people in the abortion clinics. You go and you hang out with the people in the bars and all those places that you're like, oh my goodness, I would never be seen there. Yeah, well, Jesus did. That's what he did. And he didn't go there to condemn them. He actually went there to become their friends. He went there to build relationship. That's where in his, remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan, she was a Samaritan, y'all. No upstanding, holy Jewish person would ever be caught talking to a Samaritan. And yet there he was. And totally countercultural. Men are not even supposed to be talking with the women. Women aren't even supposed to be talking with the men. It is very anti-culture. Back then, men and women, and still even in some spaces now in the Middle East, if you're not married or related to the opposite sex, then you don't get to talk to them. You don't get to hang out with them. You don't even get to go up in their space. No. No, no, no. But yet, here Jesus was, drinking water from her jug, having a conversation. His disciples were like, what in the world? I thought he was supposed to be the Messiah. What is happening right now? What's happening? Yeah, blows people's minds, because that's what we're supposed to do. You can't make disciples by yelling at people and telling them that they're going to hell. You just can't. You've got to get to know them. You've got to pique their interest in who God is so you can show them. And then you can teach them the word. And as they begin to want to know God more, you keep shining the light in your life and showing them who God is, not by beating them over the head with a Bible. And so Jesus says to them, get in right relationship with the people so they will know who God is. And so why does Jesus say, though, all nations? I mean, because that's kind of a big assignment. I mean, I live in Portland, Oregon. What? All the nations? Because God's plan before the world even existed was for all of creation to know God. And once creation would fall, God already had a plan that creation would be reconciled back to him. It would be restored to a good relationship with him through Jesus. So Jesus sought the lost Jews and their neighbors, those who were in the little towns and cities that they traveled to. But his disciples could then go out and go further, take the ministry to other places that Jesus could not go. And again, spread that to us. What nations do we represent? What places and spaces are you that Jesus never got to be? Because he was only here for 30 plus years. It's a short lifetime. And he didn't get to travel to Japan. He didn't go to Mexico. There was no United States, right? But there is today. And so because of this time and this space, we get to reach as many as we can. And God is saying, all people are important to me. So not just the people who look like you, the people who speak your same language, the people who dress like you, the people who live in your neighborhood. No, every single body on this planet, everywhere. So he sends his disciples out to go and reach as many people as they can. We talked about this before. In fact, we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning, about having technology as a tool. Technology is on our side. We can travel further distances than Jesus or his disciples ever could, because we can reach people via radio, internet, satellite. We got phones, we got email, we got video. I mean, all the things. And God gives us the gift of technology so we can further grow his kingdom. Now, you know, you may not be able to see the individual souls that are getting saved, but we can still help water the seeds that have been planted. We can help plant the seeds so that they can be watered. And so who provides the increase? God, the Holy Spirit. We just need to do our part. Let our light shine. Be salt. Be light. And that's how others get to know who God is. Now, we should still be careful, just as the believers in the Bibles had to. We are to grow others up in Christ, not recruit people to our own denomination or congregation. The word disciple means to be a student, one who studies, one who learns. So being a disciple isn't just attending Sunday school or vacation Bible school, a Bible study or children's church or whatever event that you have at your church. That doesn't make people disciples. Those are getting bodies in the pews. That's not necessarily making disciples. So don't confuse having a bunch of people in your church house, meaning, oh, well, you made disciples, we're good. Not exactly. We need to be careful of relying on our church growth antics to increase numbers over the quality of personal spiritual growth. Amen. Ooh, it's so irritating. I'll tell you in a minute, but ooh, I was irritated a little bit this week. God is not interested in us winning masses. Like, oh, we got to have all these people. Okay, good for you that you have 3,000 people who go to your church. But are they actually saved? Are they actually growing up in Christ? How are you getting to know who they are? How are you holding these people accountable? Are they using their gifts for God's glory? You can't answer those questions, then you should probably not be elated that you have 3,000 people on your roll call. It's just not helpful. Not helpful. It's just as bad as hitting people on the head with a Bible, thinking that that's going to save them. But no. Doesn't work. I remember in seminary, oh my gosh, all the books on church growth. And actually, they still exist now. There's still new books being written on church growth. Can you imagine? 2023, you think that people would know better. But no, we don't. Because we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked, Sister Susie. So many books focus on increasing numbers of members. It's strategies to grow your church 10% each year. Like, this ain't a Toys R Us commercial. What is happening? We ain't selling cars. We're going to increase our sales by 10% each year. No. We are talking about people knowing who God is, having a relationship with their Creator so that they can turn around and show other people the way to God. It is not a commercial that, it's not a commodity that we are selling. Cut it out. There's very few books on how to ensure spiritual growth of the people in your congregation. I mean, it's just a disproportionate amount of writings. Very fascinating. I've experienced pastors asking me, oh, Teresa, how's it going at Gills Creek? And, you know, what's your next thing? What's your next strategic move? I just looked at him like, do you not know me? Do you not know me? Why do you think that Pastor Teresa is going to be interested in the next strategic move? My strategic move is to do what God has called me to do. Pastor his flock. And what does that mean? Getting to know each and every one. Meeting people's needs, helping them grow up in Christ. Not, okay, let's do this thing and this one thing and the other thing so that we can get 55 more people here by next Sunday. That, no. Nope. So I was irritated by that they would even ask me that. I'm not looking to grow the congregation 100-fold. I want the people to know God. Keep progressing to the next level in Jesus Christ. You know, again, just go back to school. You come in as a kindergartner. We expect you to become a first grader. Keep moving up till you get to fifth grade. Keep moving up to seventh grade. Keep moving up to high school. We hope that you will complete high school, right? It's the same in Jesus Christ. You get to know who you understand the gospel message, but then that's only the beginning. The work is every day after that. Learning all the lessons. Who really is God? What does he mean in my individual life? What is he expecting me to do? What gifts has he given me? I need to be able to practice my gifts, share them with the world, share them with the local congregation that I'm a part of. Why? To grow God's kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be focusing on. So if we only have 30 members here, then I want 30 strong members who are prepared for spiritual warfare and able to actually make disciples. When we know how to make disciples, we'll grow in number. Because people will want to be here. They'll want to participate in growing God's kingdom. And we won't have haterade for the people who grow up here and then move on to the next thing. Why? Because God said all nations. We all can't stay here in Gales Creek. Somebody got to go out to Portland. Somebody has to go out to the coast. Somebody's got to go to the next state or another country in the world. Right? So you can't just think small and only think us. We have to be like God. Think big. He's a big God. He wants us to be thinking big right along with him. So when we know how to grow disciples, we'll grow in number. And we have to keep in mind that just because we've discipled folks doesn't mean they're meant to stay here. Our commission is to reach out to the entire world. Now, before we move on to the third all, let's talk about Jesus' command to baptize. We're so funny as human beings. We like to fight over stuff and put emphasis on the wrong syllable a lot. And so one of the great divides in Christianity is over baptism. Who'd have thunk? Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Trinity. So people even fight over that. Is it God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit? Did you just say in Jesus' name? Like, really, y'all? Really? If you say God, guess what? It's all three. If you say Jesus, guess what? It's all three. If you say in the name of the Holy Spirit, it's all three. It's not something you need to waste time on, people. Because the point is, you're showing someone who God is. You're introducing them to God, their creator. You're helping them build relationship with God. Focus. Stop being silly. Whew. He tells his disciples, go baptize in the name of the Trinity. And you have to remember what baptism symbolizes. It's a symbol of us dying to our self-centered ways and being resurrected into the new life with Jesus Christ. So when we baptize others, there's nothing magical about the process. The water is not going to save the person. It just doesn't. So whether they are fully immersed, Sister Susie, I'm telling you, denominations have split. Churches have split over this very thing. Who are you baptizing them in the name of? And how much water? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, how much water? If you're not fully immersed, well, you know, you're really not saved. Because in other places, they sprinkle you with just a little bit of water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so just a little sprinkle of water, I mean, you're kind of saved. What? Where does it say that in Scripture? Guess what? It don't. So again, I want to remind you, don't get caught up in the foolery of human beings. Go for the essence of what the Scripture is trying to teach us. Water baptism, because there's lots of people who will never be baptized. And guess what? They're still going to go to heaven and be with God, be with the Son, and be with the Spirit forever and ever and ever. Amen. Baptism is a symbol to be utilized by us to help us remember that Jesus lives in us. We're dying to ourselves and we're rising into the new life. So whether we're fully immersed in the water or sprinkled on the head, the amount of water is not the point. The point is that the Spirit of God, who forgives us from sin, ensures our salvation, and the Spirit empowers us to live for God. That is the whole point of why Jesus said what he said. Matthew records in chapter 3, remember, John the Baptist is baptizing people. He informs the people that there is one who is greater than he, who would be coming and baptizing, not only with water, but with fire. And he's talking about Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah. Now, when you read, when you look at fire as a symbol in the Bible, it's twofold. Fire is also, it represents judgment when you read about fire in the Bible, but it also represents the Holy Spirit himself. And so when Jesus is saying to his disciples, go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, he's giving you that Spirit. So to remind you, the Spirit is with you. That Spirit lives inside of each believer, empowering them to live for God's glory. And so this is why we baptize in the name of the Father, our Creator, the Son, God's Messiah, and the Spirit, the God who lives inside of us. Baptism points to Jesus' authority given by God. So now let's move to the third all. It's found in verse 20. It says, teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. Remember, we talked about a little bit about this last time. But really, what were the commands that Jesus gave? Did he really come up with some new commandments, or what did he say? Now, per Matthew, because when we read John, John just says, well, basically, he's just reiterating, love God, love the human beings around you. But Matthew gives us a prolific picture of what that looks like. And so when you read the book of Matthew, they're summed up in Jesus' teachings. And mostly when you read Matthew, you see a bunch of parables and you see some of Jesus' sermons. So here's some of the things that Matthew highlights as Jesus' teachings, also known as his commands. We have the Beatitudes, remember in chapter 5. There's the characteristics of a blessed life. From being spiritually hungry, being salt and light, even to loving your enemies. And Beatitudes, actually, that Sermon on the Mount is not just chapter 5, but it's 5, 6, and 7. Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, how to fast, to not judge others, how to love others, how to prepare to share the good news. So he's giving them all these examples, primarily by modeling the behavior he wants to see, but also teaching them from the Word of God. So in sum, Matthew is teaching us to be like Jesus. Our actions should align with our words. If we say we love God, then our lives should show that we actually love God. You cannot love God and not love the human beings around you. Again, newsflash for all of you who were like, I got to love them people. Yeah, you do. Because Jesus himself said, I'm sorry, but you can't say you love me and you don't love these people. Can't happen. So he says, love God, love others, just like Jesus. Let's go to the final all. It's in the form of a compound word. It's always, always, Jesus says. Jesus promises his disciples once again that they will not be alone in the work. Because remember when he was leaving the first time, they got it all into Jesus. Well, what's going to happen? And they had 1,000 questions. Jesus says to them, yeah, I'm leaving you again. But I am with you always, even until the end of this age. So look at verse 20. He says, be sure of this. I am with you always. And again, when you look at the word all, it doesn't mean sometimes when I feel like doing it, or if the sun is shining, I'm going to be with you, or I'm only going to be with you. No, I am with you always. So these words are to comfort the disciples then, and it comforts us disciples today in the now. We do not need to rely on our own strength and our knowledge, and I advise that you don't. Don't do it, because, you know, we think we're smart. Right, Brother Bill? We're smart. We're smart people. We've lived long enough. We've learned some things. But Jesus says, don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on your own knowledge. That's why you have the Spirit. God's Spirit is with us to teach us, to guide us, help us to be successful in Christ Jesus. The name given to Jesus at birth was Emmanuel. Do you remember that? Which means God with us. So while Jesus was human and lived on earth, he was literally revealing who God is to the people that he encountered back then in that space and that time. He is still with us, though we cannot physically see him. He's still with us through his Holy Spirit. So that is how we give witness to the world of his presence when we follow his example and we emulate him. We try to be just like Jesus. So, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, I remind you of Jesus' words to the disciples as he departed. Go, make disciples, and remember the alls. Jesus has all authority. We're to reach out to all the nations. We're to teach others to obey all of Jesus' teachings. And most importantly, Jesus is always with us. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It is just fascinating. Every single time we get to open the pages and read it for ourselves. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who quickens us, who gives witness that you truly are God and that you truly do love us and that you really did send your Messiah to save us and that your Messiah is coming back to get us. Thank you for that. Thank you that your word promises us that you are with us right here, right now. It doesn't matter what we face in this world, no obstacle. As this opening scripture said today, nothing in this world can separate us from you and from your love. We stand on that promise. We stand on that truth. And we say, thank you. Thank you for being with us when we are ill. Thank you for being with us when we are overburdened with life's demands. Thank you for being with us when we are tired and we're at wit's end. We don't know what to do. Thank you that you are with us, to walk alongside us, to protect us, to guide us. Thank you that you are with us when we are happy and joyful and rejoicing with one another. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray now for those who do not know you in that way and they are not experiencing you in their lives and they want you to be in their life. We pray for them even now, Father, that you would place that certain person in their space who can show them who you are, who can answer their questions about you. And we thank you, God, for the privilege to be able to do that for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for the people that you place in our lives, in our path each and every day. Help us to go from this place inspired, empowered, renewed in our minds to live for you so that others can know your goodness and your grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, let's close with a song. All right, we're going to close with When We All Get to Heaven.
That's a good one. A place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will be home. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of home when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be.
There's also a song that says, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. So we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can shout now because the victory is here today. All because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
So go, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that you are not alone. God himself is with you to empower you, to guide you, to keep you, to protect you, to share and reveal all truth to you. So as we depart from this place, we are not departing from his presence. Know that you can let your light shine for his glory. You can be salt all for his glory, no matter where you are. So go in his peace. Until we meet again, God be with you.